He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Acts, our first reading this morning, is often given the full title, The Acts of the Apostles. And this is understandable, because as you read the book, the apostles are certainly doing stuff. At Pentecost, St. Peter preaches. The apostles select St. Stephen to be a deacon, or what we call an elder in our denomination. St. Paul's missionary journeys take up the bulk of the book. Yet throughout the book, the apostles, it's really neat to see the apostles wrestle with how to bring a Jew and Gentile together in unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, the book of Acts has much to do with the apostles and their ministries as they look to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and beyond. But in all seriousness, I think a better title for the book would be something like The Ongoing Acts of Jesus. Not impressed. It's a working title. I'm still working on it. Haven't perfected it yet. But why should we call it that? The ongoing works of Jesus. Well, if we look at what Jesus tells the disciples today, it makes sense. Jesus had spent the 40 days since his resurrection appearing to them, proving that he was alive, showing them his scars, speaking about the kingdom of God to them, opening their minds to understand. And he did. He opened up their minds to understand the scriptures and pointed out to them how the Old Testament spoke about him, the Christ, and how he would die and rise again. And then our reading today, our gospel reading from Luke, says that he took them out as far as Bethany. How far was Bethany from Jerusalem? About a mile and a half. A good walk, I guess. He takes them out as far as Bethany, east of Jerusalem, up the Mount of Olives. And it is there that the disciples ask Jesus this question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? To them, this was a very important question. Will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Well, Jesus doesn't answer their question right off. Instead, he simply tells them to stay in Jerusalem, pray and wait, because they're to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Then, astonishingly, miraculously, he ascends through the clouds. Yes, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. The ascension of our Lord is often a holy day that is overlooked, probably because it always rests on a Thursday, 40 days from Easter Sunday, and it rarely gets the recognition it deserves. So, even though it's not technically a movable holiday, we moved it. We're celebrating it today, because it is an important holiday, an important holy day. And why is it such an important holy day? Well, think about it for a moment. From the perspective of the apostles, this is the second time they have lost their Lord being physically with them. When he was crucified, they were crushed. Those disciples were afraid, they were scared, confused, they were disoriented, they were unsure of what to do. But then Jesus shows up again. Calms their fears. Peace be with you. And then he spends 40 days with them, teaching them. But then, on the day of the ascension, he's kind of like Superman. Up, up, and away! He tells them, in answer to that question that they had asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He says to them, it's not for them to know the times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority. So they see him go up, but without an exact time of when they will see him again. I don't guess that really matters. He had told them before when he was crucified that he would only be gone 3 days, and they didn't get it. But apparently this time they do get it. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, and guess what they do? They actually stay in Jerusalem and wait. They do what Christ said. Wait, wait. With all of this, let me speak plainly. The ascension of Jesus is not about Jesus leaving us. That is not what it is about. It isn't about him going off to a better place to resume ruling his creation from far off. No, instead it is about Jesus leaving one specific place, Judea, so that he can be with all of us in any and every place. Think about that. If Christ would have stayed on earth in Judea, where would we find Christ? In Judea. That's where he would be. Remember, that's where the temple was located, and that's where people had to go to find God, was to Jerusalem, to Judea, in order to be in the presence of God. Jesus ascends into heaven so that he can rule all things. So he can be at every place. So that he's not just in Judea. Guess where else he is? He's all over the world. While Jesus does rule from heaven, he isn't only located there. Instead, he is located wherever the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus and delivers Jesus to us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Apostles, Exhibit A. At Pentecost, Peter gives a miraculous sermon. I say miraculous because 3,000 people believed in Christ right then and there. This is humbling for even the best pastor, no matter how good I think one of my sermons may be. I've never had 3,000 converts. I pray I can influence that many people in my lifetime, but in one sermon? That's what Peter did. Then Stephen, standing before the council, the Sanhedrin, testifies to the Sanhedrin, basically reciting the things that we proclaim in the creed, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, only he is actually seeing it. For that's what he says. I see Christ at the right hand of God. And it is then that the chief priests begin to rip their robes and to condemn him. Then Saul, who was there, as Stephen does all of those things, even is part of the condemnation of Stephen, and then to the whole church, that Saul becomes Paul and is the most bold proclaimer of Christ. So answer me this, is Christ gone? I don't think so. He isn't gone. He isn't far off. The continued acts of Jesus are evident in those apostles. And if you need more evidence, look at the holy martyrs of the early church, many of whom we call saints. They were certainly emboldened by the Holy Spirit as they continued to confess Christ in the face of barbarous torture and brutal death. Look to the Reformation, where God restored the Holy Gospel to His people. It is only through His ascension that you get to share in the miracles that He did among all of those people. Look to each and every baptism, where God evicts the devil and the Holy Spirit then moves in, much like Pentecost. Look to confession and absolution, where you hear the comforting words of our Lord as He gives you a peace that the world cannot give, much like He did after His resurrection. Peace be with you. look to the Holy Supper, where your Lord and Savior, appearing to you in his very flesh and blood, is again much like how he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Because of his ascension, you are now part of that. You are his disciples. But you're not just his disciples, his students, but his apostles. You are his sent ones. You come here to this place to be discipled. Here you learn from him, you touch him, he touches you. You hear his word, you receive his gifts. This is your seminary, if you take advantage of it. This is where the Holy Spirit does his Pentecost work in you, so that you can then go out and be his apostles, his sent ones out there. And I pray that through you, there will be at least 3,000 converts. Deal? But even if there are only 300, or 30, or 3, you are proclaiming the love of God to a world that desperately and wholeheartedly needs it. So far, I can only myself boast of 2 converts, as if they were my own anyway. And those are my sons. And I pray their faith will stay strong and carry them through this perilous world. This is what we mean when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." God's kingdom is where his people are. His will is for all people to be a part of that kingdom. You are his messengers. You are his ambassadors. You are the proclaimers of his love. You are the confessors of his forgiveness. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. You are his apostles, and he is with you. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. If you'd like to see the sermon and watch our worship service live, you can join us Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Central Time at www.facebook.com/FLC Tahlequah. You can also find out more information about First Lutheran, read or hear sermons, and find other resources by going to our website at www.firstlutherantahlequah.org. Both of these links will be in the show notes for your quick click. In grateful response to God's gifts and empowered by the Holy Spirit through word and sacraments, the mission of First Lutheran Church is to grow in faith through worship and study, to make known the love of Christ by word and deed within our congregation, and to recognize Christ's love and to take it wherever it is needed in our community and the world.